soon it's going to be the Senate's turn to take a crack at tax reform. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. We're hearing more details about the GOP plan to cut taxes. The Senate is planning to put out a tax proposal tomorrow, a week after the House GOP released its plan. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra is here with us live. Marielle, what do we know about this Senate proposal?
It's still being written, but a big part of this push for tax reform is the promise that corporations will get a tax cut. The bill from the House of Representatives last week lowers the corporate tax rate to 20%. But now the Washington Post is reporting that Senate Republicans may delay changes to corporate taxes in their bill, so those wouldn't phase in until 2019. Senators are also talking about axing state and local tax deductions.
And we've also seen a few more reports on how the House bill would affect people at different income levels.
Yeah, the Joint Committee on Taxation, a nonpartisan congressional body, put out an analysis of the plan. It showed a majority of people will see their taxes drop in the short term, but that changes over time. After 10 years, fewer than half of taxpayers would get a tax cut, and about a fifth would pay higher taxes.
All right. Marketplace's Marielle Segarra, thank you so much. For 7 years now, the IRS has offered a tax credit of up to $7,500 to get people to buy electric cars. That credit would disappear under the proposed Republican tax plan. As you might imagine, the U.S. auto industry is not happy. Marketplace's sustainability reporter, Jed Kim.
Without the electric vehicle tax credit, Scott Shepard with Navigant Research says EV sales would drop by a quarter next year. He says U.S. automakers as a whole stand to lose, though, because the future of cars is electric.
The people who are really going to be hurt by this are U.S. domestic automakers who are trying to create the development cycle that is going to make them competitive on the global stage.
Justifying EV research and development gets harder without incentives for people to buy the cars. Gil Tal directs research on transportation at UC Davis. He says U.S. automakers sell most of their EVs to Americans, but the growing global market favors foreign car companies.
5 years ago, half of the EV market was the U.S. Now it's less than 20%. Next year is going to be probably half than that.
While the tax plan gets negotiated, Tal says expect a run on U.S. EVs while the credit is still in place. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up less than a tenth of a percent. Dow S&P futures are down less than a tenth of a percent, with the Dow future down 8 points. The NASDAQ futures are up just barely. People seem to love to talk about what millennials want, what they don't want, what they've ruined. The reality is this is not a super well-defined age group, and they are diverse. One project out of the University of Chicago called Gen Forward has made sure its sampling of 18 to 34-year-olds includes groups that are often undercounted. The survey's founder is University of Chicago professor Kathy Cohen, who's looked at millennials, race, and perceived economic power. She spoke to my colleague, David Brancaccio.
Now, among the questions you've asked this time around is essentially whether there's a perceived zero-sum game in the economy. White people can't find jobs because people who are non-whites took the jobs. What do millennials actually say about this?
We have a number of questions that ask, we could say, about racial power or the racial order. One question is, you know, do whites have trouble finding jobs because minorities have taken their jobs? About 29% of white millennials agree that millennials or white people can't find jobs because minorities have taken their jobs. When we look at those millennials who don't have a college degree, the number bumps up to maybe 33%. And then when we look at millennial Trump voters, again, the numbers only bump up slightly to about 34%.
So help me understand this better. Millennials who are white, there is a percentage who do feel discriminated against.
Right, exactly. And when we ask the question, is discrimination against whites as big of a problem as discrimination against minorities, for example, like African Americans, we see, I think, surprising numbers. About 48% of white millennials say yes.
What I'm trying to understand is, are the white respondents blaming people of color for the discrimination, or is it a sense that we're all being discriminated against by an economy that has problems?
I think it depends on the question. When we ask questions about, for example, college, there's more of a tendency among white millennials to say, yeah, minorities are taking the spots in the colleges I prefer. But what's really interesting is when we ask a question about jobs, they're less likely to blame other groups. And I think they have a better sense that maybe, in fact, it's corporate and neoliberal policies that are shrinking the jobs that are available to them. They might not articulate it that way. So, you know, we're inferring from the data. And I also want to suggest it's more complicated than saying, well, they don't blame folks of color, because much of our other data suggests, in fact, that there are real differences around racial issues.
All right. So if millennials feel one group has got advantages over another, who's at the top of this economic ladder, according to the data that you're getting?
Whites always end up as the top group. When we ask about political power, again, whites are named for all groups as the racial group with the most political power. For white millennials, I think they have a sense that, in fact, they're losing ground specifically through no fault of their own. And they kind of move between blaming corporate entities and blaming folks of color for that loss of status and loss of power.
Kathy Cohen is a professor of political science at the University of Chicago. Her ongoing survey project of millennials, the biggest cohort in the workforce, is called Gen Forward. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.